The White House has requested a total of $7.26 trillion for the 2025 fiscal year. The proposal includes $100 million, or about 3.1 billion NT, to assist Taiwan in strengthening deterrence and to maintain peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait.
Let's hear from U.S. officials.
We expect the PLA will field more advanced platforms, deploy new technologies, and grow more competent in joint operations, with a particular focus on Taiwan and the Western Pacific.
We must employ all the tools at our disposal to outcompete China wherever possible. The FY25 request will allow us to continue to invest in the foundations of our strength at home, align with like-minded partners to strengthen our shared interests and address the challenges posed by the PRC.
I will be inaugurated president on May 20th. In the future, we hope to work together with the Center for American Progress to promote Taiwan's progress in various fields and allow Taiwan to assist the international community in these areas.
In related news, a U.S. Navy guided missile destroyer, the USS Rafael Peralta, made its first port call at Japan's Ishigaki Island on Monday. According to Japanese reports, the U.S. is intentionally showcasing the strong alliance between Japan and the U.S. in the Sakishima Archipelago close to Taiwan to deter Chinese military action. A KMT bill proposal is calling for the naturalization process of Chinese spouses to be shortened from 6 years to four.
Today, almost 300 people from pro-Taiwan NGOs got together to protest this proposed change because they fear that Taiwan is following the footsteps of Hong Kong. The TPP's Huang Jie is proposing stricter naturalization requirements, which include an oath of allegiance to Taiwan.
Pro-Taiwan groups have slammed KMT proposal to shorten the naturalization process for Chinese spouses from 6 to 4 years. The new party has dismissed the protests as discriminatory, but pro-Taiwan NGOs have fired back, saying that Chinese spouses are receiving preferential treatment.
Only in Taiwan can someone advocate for us to be fair and open to all countries, even enemies. Do these people have 40 to 50 years of special contributions to Taiwan? Here in Taiwan, only people with special contributions can have dual citizenship. We need to be sure that these people will be loyal to our society, that they won't betray Taiwan. If we can be absolutely sure of this, then we can start discussing about changing it from 6 years to four. Starting in 1997, Hong Kong has slowly taken in more Chinese. And now isn't Hong Kong's medical system on the brink of collapse? It takes 1 year and 4 months just to get an MRI done. There's 1 year and 8 month waits for a CT scan. Would we be able to handle hardships like this?
Luo Junchuan is worried that Taiwan is following in Hong Kong's footsteps from a medical perspective. He warns that the relatives of Chinese spouses can come over to use the resources of Taiwan's national health insurance system. Nearly 300 people from pro-Taiwan NGOs got together to protest legal changes that would allow China to dilute Taiwan's population.
These spouses don't need to forfeit the citizenship of their own country, but people from all other countries need to do so. And these Chinese spouses don't need to take a test. They can even enjoy the right to use the resources of our national health insurance system. And they can even bring their parents to live in Taiwan. Their children, who are under the age of 12, can even come to live in Taiwan. This is a classic example of population cleansing.
In order to be fair, these pro-Taiwan NGOs are demanding that Chinese spouses be treated the same as spouses from other countries. As it so happens, DPP lawmaker Huang Jie has just proposed a bill that would require Chinese spouses to fulfill two requirements before they are allowed to naturalize.
A naturalization oath would be added as well as a naturalization test. The terms of this oath would have legal force. The legal consequences of this oath would mean that if you violate any part of the oath, then your household registration would be revoked.
Huang pointed out that Chinese spouses should be required to swear an oath of allegiance to Taiwan before becoming naturalized. With pan-green and pan-blue lawmakers engaged in a battle of words over this proposed bill, Huang's requirements reflect that both sides have different expectations for Chinese spouses.
Green energy is a global trend, and one aspect of it is batteries that can charge fast. The Industrial Technology Research Institute has developed a new kind of battery anode material that can get lithium batteries to full charge in just 5 minutes.
That's considerably faster than the 2 to 4 hours it would take a regular battery. To enter the market, Itri has jointly founded a company with Largent Precision in order to tap into the multi-billion dollar industry.
Taking aim at business opportunities in the energy sector, Itri and Largent Precision have joined forces with a new company to develop fast-charging lithium battery anode materials. Over the past few years, optoelectronic component giant Largent Precision has been growing its investments outside of its core business. And now it's setting 450 million NTSI to break into the green energy sector.
Green energy is a great industry with a bright future. As the world looks to conserve energy and reduce carbon emissions, the green energy market will only grow larger. Our founder had studied chemical engineering, so our company has long been interested in basic materials. The industries are different, but Largent Precision can handle it all the same. It can utilize its competitive edge in materials to combine different sectors and open up new markets.
The invention has been hailed as the fastest charging lithium battery in the world. They use niobium titanium oxide, which allows the battery to reach full charge in just 5 minutes if the voltage conditions allow it. The cells have a battery life of 20 years. Industry players are optimistic that the technology can be applied in fast-charging electric buses, energy storage systems, hybrid vehicles, and drones. Trial production is expected to start this year, with 24 tons on an initial production period and 600 by 2026.
The kind of traditional materials is that they aren't suitable for fast charging. When you try to use them for fast charging, they heat up. The advantage of the anode material we are launching, niobium titanium oxide, is that it can charge a battery fully in 5 minutes. Itri strongly encourages its colleagues to establish new companies. It has a great effect in terms of tech pricing, licensing, and staff transfers.
According to a McKinsey survey, business opportunities in the global lithium-ion battery market will reach 450 billion US dollars, or about 10 trillion NT in 2030. It's no wonder that optoelectronics component firms like Largent Precision are branching out into the industry.
Taiwan's demand for supercars has exploded in the post-pandemic era, especially with the launch of many electric models over the past 2 years. But although EVs are trendy, traditional fuel vehicles remain a top choice among buyers.
A British luxury car maker with more than 100 years of history has launched a new supercar in Taiwan, causing big waves among enthusiasts. Let's hear about it.
Exceptional performance comes from its 4-litre V8 twin-turbo engine, boasting a near 25% increase in power-to-weight ratio.
Many supercar enthusiasts seek out two things, sound and beauty. As the world moves toward hybrid and even electric vehicles, traditional internal combustion engines have become a draw and a feature for people who prefer them.
Though electric vehicles has caused a buzz around the world, combustion engine supercars have become much sought after by enthusiasts. Despite the global economic slowdown, the luxury car market is only growing faster and faster. A recent tragic accident on Xueshan has highlighted the need for strong training of mountain search and rescue teams.
FTV spoke to a team from Miaoli County Fire Bureau about their preparation for snowy terrain. Search and rescue teams need lots of special training, both in how to prepare gear for the expedition and how to navigate these hazardous environments.
A headfirst tumble into icy snow and down the mountain. But don't panic. This is just training. The instructor is demonstrating how to save yourself in this situation. 8 members of Miaoli County Fire Bureau's Mountain Search and Rescue Team are on the training. They're joined by 2 military instructors. They're learning how to pack provisions for snowy terrain, how to set up camp here, and how to climb snow-clad mountains.
We really emphasize this dimension of training because our colleagues will need to go up the mountains, of course, and take risks in the course of search and rescue. This snowy terrain training included walking and climbing up and down with crampons, as well as securing oneself and how to stop oneself from rolling with an ice axe.
Yaoli County is home to popular mountaineering locations like Mount Dabajian and Xueshan. They're always attracting visitors, but the fire bureau warns that crampons, ice axes, and ropes are indispensable gear to keep yourself safe. Last month, a hiker was tragically killed after sliding on snow and falling off a cliff at Karantakun North Peak in Xueshan. A member of the search and rescue team sent after them also slipped and fell, but fortunately only suffered an injury. The accident underscores a difficulty that some mountain rescue operations pose. Only with frequent training events like this one can emergency teams maintain their readiness to respond.
Taiwanese ultramarathon runner Tommy Chan has come in second at the Lapland Arctic Ultra, a 500-kilometer foot race in northern Sweden.
In the competition, racers are given a 10-day time limit to complete the marathon, which crosses through glaciers, frozen lakes, and forests. Chan completed the race in just 6 days, 5 hours, and 48 minutes. He braved low temperatures throughout and even made the bold choice to move at night, aided by a headlight. He crossed the finish line holding up the national flag of Taiwan, breaking records as the fastest competitor from Asia in the race. An inner-city bedbug disaster is brewing in Japan, with crawly critters being found on hotel blankets and even in the seats of metro carriages. To make matters worse, these super bedbugs seem to be resistant to ordinary pesticides.
But not all is lost for Taiwanese travelers, because by following a few travel tips and simple medical advice, they should be able to overcome the creatures that might be waiting for them in Japan.
On a trip to Japan, a Taiwanese traveler was not pleased to find that parasitic guests had already checked into his room, which resulted in him quickly changing room. So what were waiting on the sheets of the hotel bed? Bedbugs that bite, literally. But these biting bugs aren't just hiding in hotel rooms, as they've even been found taking free trips on Japan's metro system. With the bedbug disaster spreading around places like Tokyo, Osaka, and Kanagawa, Japanese netizens have unleashed their worries on their keyboards, saying they won't go anywhere near a subway carriage. Local cleaning experts have even worse news. Regular pesticides are hardly a match for this wave of super strong bed bugs.
Don't underestimate this type of bed bug because of its small size. They're actually really good at crawling, so if you don't inspect your luggage, or if your bags are made of fabric, or if you don't have them closed tightly, then these bugs could potentially crawl into your bag by going through the zipper and then head back to Taiwan with you.
This travel aficionado provided a helpful bed bug briefing. These crawly critters like to get into mattress cracks and small spaces between chair and sofa cushions. So before checking into a hotel, tourists should first inspect their accommodation's interior. She also suggested that clothing that has been worn should be washed in hot water and then put in a dryer.
The first thing is hurry up and get a cold compress on it. Now, the second thing is, if there are bites on your hands, then you can apply a slightly stronger topical anti-itch cream or possibly some mint. Or doctors could prescribe you some steroid-based ointments. You can try out all of these options.
If rashes or blisters form because of bed bug bites, the skin doctor reminded people to never scratch the bumps, as this could potentially break the skin. If symptoms persist for more than a week, or if the swelling doesn't subside, visit a doctor.
Since the launch of the T-Pass monthly transport ticket in northern Taiwan, ridership on the Taoyuan Metro has gone up by 15%. The central government now says it is hoping to expand the system by subsidizing the purchase of 10 more carriages.
Under the plan, the central government would pay for half of the total bill of 6 billion NT. On Tuesday, Transport Minister Wang Guotai said more promotions will be launched in April to encourage more people to take public transport.
On weekdays, Changgong Memorial Hospital Station on the Taoyuan Metro is packed with commuters. Last July, the government launched the monthly transport pass, T-Pass, which was adopted by many. Since then, ridership has gone up by 15%.
Real estate agents looking to sell houses in Lingkou, Guishan, Luzhu, and Qingpu can tell prospective buyers to get the 1,200 NT transport pass.
The executive yuan led an inspection of the Taoyuan Metro on Tuesday. The occasion brought together Vice Premier Zheng Wenchan and Taoyuan Mayor Zhang Shanzhen, a rare joint appearance by the former and current mayors of the city.
The Highway Bureau is also putting together a plan to expand promotion and marketing in April in hopes of boosting ridership further. Premier Chen Zhenren has mentioned before that the program will continue beyond 2025, so I think there won't be problems regarding the budget.
The T-Pass program launched last July with a budget of 20 billion NT. The transport pass has helped the Taoyuan Metro turn its losses into gains, making a profit of 120 million NT last year.
We hope to combine administrations and functions into one, so we hope to transfer the management of the Taoyuan Airport line, including three major development projects at stations A8, A9, and A19, to the Taoyuan City Government. We're also looking to transfer and increase the number of carriages. We hope to reach a decision soon. We're looking to purchase 10 carriages for about 6 billion NT. The central government will subsidize half of the cost, or 3 billion NT. We'll negotiate the matter with the Taoyuan City Government and the Taoyuan Metro as soon as possible.
With international travel on the rise after the pandemic and the wide adoption of T-Pass, the government hopes to make improvements for travel in northern Taiwan.
In this age of pet mania, you can even find religious services for animals. A temple in Miali is offering blessing lamps for pets to bring them protection through the coming year. Lighting blessing lamps has become popular around Lunar New Year in recent decades.
But religious experts caution that loving pet owners shouldn't get a blessing lamp frivolously. Make sure you read up on the customs around blessing lamps and take them seriously, even if their beneficiary has four paws.
This list of pets' names is not a database of the clients of a pet store. A temple is offering to light blessing lamps for pet owners' fur babies. The name is entered into the system and then stuck onto the lamp. With the support of the deity, the creature will be blessed and protected. This temple in Miaoli's Zhunan Township offers the unusual service for local animals.
If you have a pet, you're bound to love it and hope it stays safe. Some dogs and cats don't have health insurance, and vets' fees can be very expensive. We want to light blessing lamps for them, or peace lamps, to pray for their safety.
As people have fewer and fewer children, pets are becoming more prominent members of the family. That's created an unexpected income stream for this temple. But pet owners should pay attention to the traditions and taboos around blessing lamps, lest their badly formed prayers prove counterproductive.
Blessing lamps are for living pets. They're not suitable for deceased pets. Blessing lamps must be kept light for the whole year and cannot be blown out. That would represent the end of a blessing. And you cannot replace a pet's name with a fake human name to smuggle it into a temple which does not offer blessing lamps to animals.
LED lamps have replaced traditional yellow light bulbs, making blessing lamps more of a multicolored spectacle. The towers of lamps also revolve, creating a truly technological atmosphere. But how is a believer supposed to find their lamp among all this glitz and sparkle? You can enter your phone number to find the code of your lamp, which tells you exactly where it is. The onward march of technology is bringing fresh customs even into temples.
Now for a story of solitude and togetherness. When Wang Yanwen bought an old house in Miaoli's historic Gongguan district, he thought it would be a hideaway where he could enjoy his own company.
But in the end, he couldn't resist opening it up to share with others. The space is now a coffee shop where customers can enjoy a proper cup of coffee and a moment of friendship.
Wang Yanwen says that when he first came to Gongguan, it was just to visit a friend who was growing mandarins. Next, he had a bowl of noodles, and somewhere along the way, bought this old house.
Because of those noodles, I happened to pass by the building. It had a for sale sign up, so I put the number on the sign in my phone.
At first, he had no thoughts of running a business here, but what was at first a solitary retreat later became a place to share with customers. He slightly remodeled the building while trying to preserve its original state.
My story is very simple. It was all because of a mandarin and a bowl of noodles and then an old house.
The coffee roaster is right by the table. The beans roast and revolve slowly. Varieties from all over the world offer customers many different unique flavors.
So,
If a customer doesn't know which type they want, they can try a sniff of these taster cups. After a sniff, they'll know.
This is a light color, not like the black we normally imagine for coffee. It's clear and light.
At the Miali Cafe, Long brings local farming produce into the roasting of the beans.
Here in Tonglo, we produce chrysanthemum, which I combine with coffee.
It's the perfect space for a group of friends to gather. The chat shared on these bar stools nourish friendships that will last long after they've stepped out the door.